played Give Thanks in seminary. I think it was written by Don Moen. And Don Moen was like one of the first in the, I forget, is the Integrity series where they put out, that was when, Hosanna, they did worship music. And that's when contemporary worship music started selling like hotcakes. Give Thanks was one of the first albums that was done by Don Moen. And I introduced that at the seminary that me and Heidi were going to, that we graduated from. And the seminary was mostly into hymns. And I like hymns, but I didn't like them in seminary, okay? Because they were kind of dull most of the time and a little bit boring and played dully. I love hymns now, but you play them with a little bit of life and they sound great and they're wonderful. And hymns are absolutely beautiful because the words are fantastic. It's like the best devotional book is a hymn book. You just sit there and read what some of these people wrote, you know, when God's Spirit was upon them. You think, wow, very deep, very deep. In fact, probably deeper than most contemporary songs. However, the contemporary songs is what's been reaching the hearts and souls of the next generation. My generation and the next generation and the generation after that. So we see a mix of being able to combine those things, and we are able to get not only doctrine from our music like we did in the hymns, but we're able to get feeling and excitement and joy that singing is supposed to be, that worship is supposed to be. Providing a grateful heart and a thankful heart. Well, that has nothing to do with what I want to talk about today. So anyway, turn with me if you will, because this is what I am going to talk about today, is being grateful, being thankful. Sometimes we forget what it means to be grateful, and we forget what it means to be thankful. And because of that, we end up in all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues in our life, all kinds of distractions that we need to avoid. And there's a place in Scripture where we see that happening. And it has to do with a couple people who are worried and concerned and upset about money. And I'm going to use the word anxious. They're anxiety-filled. Anybody feel anxiety over the holidays? Nobody? Nobody feels anxiety? Anybody feels anxiety over the holidays? Anxiety seems to be, you know, if it wasn't called the Christmas season, it would be called the anxiety season, okay, because of all the things that are going on. And we're already, have you noticed that Christmas seems to be backed up more and more and more? You know, it was even before Halloween, I think they were preparing for Christmas, before Halloween. And I'm thinking, let's just get through Thanksgiving, you know. Thanksgiving is sort of the ending point. In fact, me and Heidi have not put up our Christmas tree. I know that in this world that's almost blasphemy, but we have not put up our Christmas tree, you know, as a decoration. What we will do is we'll wait the week of Christmas. We'll put it up, and then we'll keep it through March, okay? Keep it up through March. Because we really believe in Christmas. In Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus begins to talk with someone. In fact, someone comes up to him, and they begin to complain about this person owes them this, and this person owes them that, and Jesus is listening to their complaint, and he has to deal with them. He goes on and he starts talking with them as they are complaining about one, saying that this person owes me this, and the other one's complaining about this person owing him that. And Jesus comes to him and he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one. This is in verse 24. And he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And he goes on and he says this in verse 25. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your life.
what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than raiment? Now, in this passage, there's a real lesson we need to learn about anxiety and how that has to do with Thanksgiving. Because I believe that God's called us to be thankful, but I believe one of the reasons, this is just one of the reasons that we're going to deal with today, one of the reasons we're not thankful is we're too anxious. We're too anxious about this or that. We're too anxious about our portfolio. That's become a real great word here in business circles. What is your portfolio? I look at my portfolio, and after I look at the first and only page of my portfolio, you know, anxiety wants to come on. So you haven't saved up enough money, or you haven't put away enough of this, or you haven't done enough of that. And oh, by the way, you've got to come up with Christmas presents this year. And oh, by the way, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I wanted those Major Matt Masons. Do you remember the Major Matt Masons? How many of you had Major Matt Masons? Oh, man. You didn't have Major Matt Masons? Oh, I'm not even going to tell you what a Major Matt Mason is. What's a Major Matt Mason? Major Matt Masons, man, that was the action figure of my childhood. You had to have a Major Matt Mason, and they had all different kinds of Major Matt Masons. And then when they ran out of selling these Major Matt Masons, then they changed the color of their uniform. You had to get the other color, okay? Major Matt Masons were astronauts. Because it wasn't soldiers that were as big, it was the astronauts that were big back then. Because that was when about the time we were ready to go to the moon. And Major Matt Mason had his whole crew. And my dad, I remember them picking this up for me. They picked up this big Major Matt Mason space station, and I had like five or six Major Matt Masons. And I want to tell you something, man, it was a happy time in Chris Hayden's household. When I got those for Christmas, when those were under the tree, that was it. And you know, nowadays it's something. It's always something else. We've got to always have something else. You know, it's like I can never have enough guitars. I can never have enough motorcycles. I can never have enough shoes. I can never have enough TVs. There's always something more that I've. And I'm anxious because I know that I've got to get these things for my kids because I had them, so they've got to have them too, right? I remember my kids wanting a cell phones one year. They were cell phones. I said, "You're not getting cell phones." And then they started singing, "Where are you, Christmas? Where?" They didn't get cell phones for me. They ended up getting cell phones, but not. I don't know if I bought. Did I buy them cell phones? No, I did not. I didn't think so. I can't remember. We've gotten them so many things. And yet sometimes, you know, sometimes they'll be very thankful, and sometimes they won't. But see, we would want to be thankful, but we're so anxious about things. Because if this isn't happening, then that's happening. And Jesus tries to deal with this idea of anxiety. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Not life more than food and the body more than clothing. And then he goes on and he says this, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more of value than they? See, we don't worry about this as much in this country, although there are people who go hungry. And even though we don't worry necessarily about getting food, we worry about the kind of food that we get, okay? Because there's always food. I'm going to tell you right now, if you need food for the holidays, for Thanksgiving, you don't have to be poor to come up and get food from our food shelf. We've got a food shelf back here after church. If you would like food, if you need food for your Thanksgiving table, come back and see me. I'll be in the back selling peanuts, okay? We're going to keep selling those. So if you need those, I'll be back there. But if you need free food for Thanksgiving for your table, come and see us, all right? And we will make sure that you've got a bag full of groceries when you leave. We have food, but it's the kind of food sometimes that we, you know, well, it wasn't the best. And yet, even though most of us can go out to eat at dinner time, and not all of us can, and not all very often, even if we can go, we're a pretty wealthy country in that we have food pretty plentiful. There's people that I would bring, if I were to take them to Walmart, they would just almost drop down dead to see what we have on our shelves. And God sits there and tells us, why are you anxious for your food? Why are you anxious for this? Because you know what? Don't you think that your Heavenly Father is going to feed you? Don't you think He's going to take care of you? And what that does for us when we get anxious about this or anxious about that, we forget to be thankful for what God does provide. We've got more food than we know what to do with. You know what? And one of these days, me and Heidi, we're going to have a come to the Hayden's refrigerator day and take some of our food away. I'm not kidding you. I open up my refrigerator and I'm going, I can't find anything because everything's in there. You got this and that. And I've got like three different types of mustard. And they're the same type. I mean, I got what is it? Hellman's? What is that? Hellman's mustard? Hellman's mustard. And I've got a Kraft mustard. And I don't know why I've got two different types, but I got two. And then I've got, you know, you've got your spicy mustard and your Grey Poupon. And the Grey Poupon is in the way all the time because it's a weird shaped bottle. You know, it doesn't fit anywhere in our refrigerator. Don't you know that I'm going to take care of you? And still we're concerned. And still we're anxious. And still, how am I going to feed all these? Jesus goes on. He doesn't stop there. Which of you, by worrying? He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor do they reap. Neither put in the barns, yet your Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? I love that statement. Aren't you more value? See, you know, I'm not putting down PETA at all, because they got their purpose, I guess, in helping animals. And I want to help animals. I don't think animals should suffer, but don't you know you're more valuable than animals? You're of greater value than they are. They're a beautiful creation of God, and we need to honor them and in for who they are. They're to be help to us, whether we use them as food source or whether we use them as companion source or whether we use them for any other source. They're here for us to be used, but we don't want to make them suffer. We should take care of them like a responsible, like Jesus would take care of them. All right, you're more valuable than they are. And yet God feeds them. God takes care of them. He wants to make this point. You're of more value than those He takes care of in the field. And then He goes on and says, which of you by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? God put that in there specially for me. Why worry about how tall you are? Don't worry about how tall you are. See, I used to worry about how short I was at one time till I found about two or three other of my classmates that were shorter than I was. And then, you know, I used to worry about how short I was till I found out how tall my dad was. See, I used to think my dad was, you know, huge. He was huge in my eyes. He fought in the war. I got a picture of him. I showed you that. He fought in the Philippines. He had military friends. But then I saw a picture of him because he died when I was 13. And I don't remember him physically, you know, his height or any of the stature. And I don't remember that until I found out. I saw a picture of him standing next to my stepmother. And my stepmother was like short. She was like 5'3". And I towered over her at 3 inches, you know. So just, I call that towering. Over, and I saw a picture of her, and my dad was the same height as she was. I thought, so it's his fault. He says, why you even worry about that? You can't add a stature. You can't add in a cubit onto your stature. Why are you worrying about this? Why are you so anxious about this? Why do you worry about the clothing? He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor do they spin. That the lilies, and he says, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, Solomon, the King Solomon, the richest person in the world, didn't have clothing like these that I've given in the field, these flowers. Now let me talk to you a minute about clothing. We worry about clothing. When I was growing up, I used to love to go to Eddie Bauer and get all the nice clothes, get all, because I, you know, had to look good. It looked good. But clothing changes. Styles change from one moment to the next. I remember when I was in high school, I remember this perfectly because that was when those big old heels started coming out for guys. Remember those big heels started coming out for guys? And so I got me a set of the heels, and I had got heels, they were an inch and a half tall. Those big heels, and I thought, I'm going to catch up to them. I'm going to catch up to them. I'd put on those inch and a half heels, and then I'd go to school, and every other guy would have 3-inch heels. So even when I was able to put heels on and have these big heels, I still was far shorter than they were. And they looked like they had Frankenstein shoes on. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It was crazy. Everyone had Kiss boots on. And so I was still even more shorter than they were. He says, why are you worried? See, remember the bell bottoms? Believe me, just hang on to your bell bottoms, okay? They're going to come out again. They'll be in style again. I've got my slim pants on. I'm starting to categorize them, okay? I've got them categorized in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And, of course, I got to categorize them by weight. These are my 30s, my 32s, 34s. 70s, 80s, and 90s. Because I'm waiting for him to come back out. He says, this is the way of the world. This is what the world will push you to be anxious about this or that or the other. And he says, you know, don't worry about that because whatever you have is going to be out of style next year. He says, I will clothe you and you will look beautiful. Not by the clothing you wear, but by the Spirit of God, the Spirit that I put within you. Some of the most beautiful people are not always the most stylish. Because it's not worldly style. It's what God puts in here that makes one beautiful. Why are you worrying? Why are you anxious? I'll tell you that not even Solomon looked as good as the daisies that are in the field. He goes on, he says, now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek after. If you look at the Christmas season, you look at the day after Thanksgiving when everyone's rushing out to the stores. It's not because they're bad people. They want to get good gifts for their children. But it's come to the place where anxiety has filled their heart and they cannot get enough of to try to fill that gap that's in their heart. And I'm going to tell you that there's nothing in the world that's going to fill the gap that's in your heart if you have to depend on things to fill that gap. You'll never be able to do it. You'll just get more anxious and more anxious. And the scripture that God tells us is, be content with what you have. Every year, my kids will ask, what do we want to, will ask my wife, what do we get Dad? What do we get Dad? And I mean, I'm telling you, I got to rack my brain to come up with some gifts for me. Because I've got so much. And every time I come up with something, it's something I don't need. Well, get me another watch. Get me a watch. I like this black one. I told my wife the other day, if they want to get me something, have them get me a white watch. I want a white watch. What do you want a white watch for? I don't know. It's different. Looks, you know, I could put it on. I could have a black suit on and wear my white watch and look like a nut, you know. And so every year I've got to come up with something. Have you ever been in that place where you go and your kids ask you, some of you who have children now, and now you've gathered and you've gotten so much in your life, and your kid and you sit and rack your brain to try to tell your kids what to get you because you've got everything? Everything. And my daughter gets so mad at me. My youngest daughter gets so mad at me sometimes. Oh, you need to tell us what you want. I want world peace. Got so much. He says in verse 31, therefore do not worry about things. Don't be anxious about, you know, if you can't go to that Christmas party, then you can't go to that Christmas party. We were called to do something, and one time me and Heidi, and we were perfectly ready to go and be a part of this party that was being thrown, and then somebody else called and said that they weren't able to go, so they canceled the party. And I want to tell you something, me and Heidi were like, thank goodness. I don't know if we can go to another one. God's given us so much, and yet we still aren't content. We still have to have more, and we have to have more. And I understand about Christmas. You know, I'm calling my daughter and saying the same thing. What does Reed want? What does Reed want? And I have to ask my wife, what does Jordan want? What do the kids want? You know? Because we want to love them and please them. We want to give them gifts, okay? And there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. But when the anxiety of the season begins to take you away from being thankful for what you have, then it's a real problem. It's a real issue in your spiritual growth. You know, if we get to Thanksgiving dinner, all right, and we're around the Thanksgiving table, and we're sitting there, and, you know, we're not really thankful, there's something wrong. And let me tell you something. If you're going to be thankful, here's the one to be thankful. Please thank the people who serve you. Please thank the people who provide for you. I thank my mother-in-law all the time for what she provides us dinner every single Sunday afternoon. I go over there and I eat like a king. She has like five or six different types of meat on the counter. I'm going, Mom, just one type will be fine. Oh, by the way, she said I could invite you all to Thanksgiving dinner. Happy Thanksgiving, Mom. Don't be anxious. If we're there and we're anxious about the dinner or anxious about this or anxious about that, take a breath. Be thankful. Wow, what a spread. What a spread. And let me tell you something. I could say that if all I have is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without jelly. I can think, what a spread. Because I love peanut butter. I love what God gives. So many things. By the way, Lucas, foreign exchange student from Germany, fell in love with American peanut butter. He came and wanted to have American peanut butter. Thankful for what we have that a lot of people don't have. A lot of people don't have. He says, therefore, don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what we shall wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek after. For your heavenly Father, he knows that you need all these things. He knows that you need all these things. He knows that you need all these things. He says, but seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to you. And then he goes on and says this, don't worry. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about the things of itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, my wife said this because, and I'm going to mention it because she said I could mention it. She had some I can't mention it? Well, you said I could mention it. I better not mention it. She had some testing done, and it could have been serious.
Found out last week it wasn't. Found out last week it wasn't serious. And then everything's cool. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for that. And we know that there's people in here that you know, maybe you have heard news that isn't quite as cool. But just know this. God is going to give you what you need when you need it. When you need it, He'll give it to you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. He loves you. Seek first the kingdom of God. What does that have to do with being thankful? Because if you'll not be anxious for what's going on, if you'll not be anxious for what's happening in the outside world, instead be thinking spiritually. Thinking spiritually. Be thinking long term. Don't think short term. Think long term. Think spiritually. And here's the last thing that I want to say. Think long term first. Think spiritually. And this is another thing that you need to think of is you need to think that I am going to be thankful. I'm not just going to do thankful. I'm going to be thankful. Go with me, if you will. Final scripture, we're going to close with this. It's in Philippians. And this is how anxiety and thankfulness tie together. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the writer, Paul, writing to the Philippian church, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Joyce and rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Even in his day, he was saying, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men, because the Lord is at hand. He's a coming. Be anxious for nothing, he says. Everyone say that. Anxious for nothing. I'm anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. He says, when the storms come, when the problems happen, when the issues take place, when the Christmas gifts have to be bought, when the food has to be bought, when it has to be prepared, when all these things happen, God is continuing to tell us, do not be anxious for anything. But pray and be thankful. Pray and be thankful. Why? Because it's the will of God that you be thankful. See, what the process goes like this. Know to be thankful. Do as if you're thankful. But this is where we want to get to, is be thankful. Because if you be thankful, you'll do thankful and you'll know thankful. It's not enough just to know it. We all know it, that we should be thankful, especially in this country. We all know it in this country to be thankful. Some of us practice it. We'll do it. And sometimes we do it out of obligation. Well, I got some, so I might as well give some away. But God says, be thankful. You know what? If you be thankful, you'll have a smile on your face when things are a problem. When anxiety tries to rise up, you'll be able to set it down because you are thankful. When things happen, remember the sink that I talked to you about last week that wasn't working, that really nice, expensive sink, faucet, you know, that every time I turn it this way or that way, the thing wouldn't work. Every time I tried to karate chop it on here, it's one of those touch deals, and I couldn't pump the water out either. Someone mentioned to me, well, it's probably a battery. I go, battery? Well, I guess it is electrical, isn't it? Well, maybe I need to look at that. So I looked, couldn't find the battery compartment. Well, thankfully, we just happened to have a plumber that came into our house the other day, and I said, do you know where the battery compartment is on this? He goes, oh, yeah, I put it in for you. Don't you remember? I didn't know it had a battery compartment. So
said, yeah, it's right over here. And then he went and looked for it. He couldn't find it. He's going, oh, here it is. He was sitting on the, I was looking up in this thing under the sink, and he found it, and he showed me, yeah, here's the batteries. Click. You need six double A's. Well, you know, as poor as as terrible as my life is, I had to run down to the store to get the double A batteries. See how easy we got it? So I went down to the store, I got double A batteries, I came in, and I put them back in the thing, I hooked the thing up, and then I tried to turn it on, and it wouldn't work. It's not working! He says, the water's off! Oh, yeah, okay. And so I went into the plumber and said, listen, I got to go to the office, I got to do this. Would you check this before you go? Yeah, I'll check it, it'll be fine. And so I came home, and guess what? Touched it, thing went off, touched it again. All it needed was batteries. Now, not every problem's that easy, I know that. But what I do know, even above that, is when we're thankful for what we've got, the other things, we know the other things will be worked out by the Lord. So don't be anxious. Be thankful. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward.